You're listening to Red Nation Online.
Picks up here by Jordan Hamilton. Chapman making a run through the middle, and Hamilton finds it. It's Jay Chapman, fires it home. Jay Chapman off the bench. A lovely finish from the Canadian.
Friday, May 4th. Steve Perry, I'm Ian Clark. We're back from BMO Field, ready to say this season has finally started. Yes, we get the kind of result we've been waiting for, 3-0 over the Philadelphia Union. That meets the benchmark from last year. However, with so many key players missing, Steve raises concerns and critiques of the formation and how we'll cope until more players return. In the meantime, we celebrate a great scoreline that saw many players contribute, and I ask if this could be a breakthrough game for Jay Chapman that will see him get more minutes in the short term. It's all that and more on the next 40 minutes on Eastside Stand Up. Steve Perry, did you have a big intro prep for this amazing start to the season, as I'm thinking of it? For Toronto FC, I feel like this is the game we've been waiting for, regular season wise. Anyhow, you know, I missed a game last week. The CONCACAF Champions League wrapped up. I feel like that was looming over the season, and once that was done, it kind of felt like, okay, now we can just get this season going.
But it was a sparse attendance, so not a lot of people picked up on it. Like, not a lot of people got to watch this. I mean, I don't know if you
feel bad for these people.
Well, not. I don't know. Maybe. I wasn't feeling
really?
So
the 3-0 win?
Yeah, I know. I wasn't feeling so great about it, though. I gotta say, I'm not so cheery about this game. It exposed a lot of weakness in our lineup. Anyway, I want to say, what are you talking about? Like, you're talking about
3 points?
You're only talking about, yeah, but I think you're only talking about, because we've been playing in a league a bunch of games, and we've been basically giving up those games to play in this Scotiabank CONCACAF Champions, right? So yeah. We've been sacrificing the league for the cup, which, you know, then resulted in us not getting all the way. So, I don't know. The question is, and I think I'll make the argument through this podcast, that was it worth it? That's the question I'll be asking. Is that all right?
That's all right with me, Steve.
All right.
But, you know, to circle
coming
back
into
to
this game, well, I think we should talk about coming into this game, because there's some things that are sort of the context to this game, right? So one of the things that is a minor context is that Marky Delgado's 100th game, right? So they talked about that at the beginning. I think weather was a big thing, because we've been hearing about weather alerts all day, and probably for the last couple of days. And today's weather alert was mostly about wind. Getting down to this game was a bit of a challenge, and possibly a factor in why the attendance was so thin, because like there was a lot of power outages, there was a lot of lights not working. People probably just gave up. Like people who had tickets probably was just like, forget it, I'm not going to go to this game, I'm just going to stay at home, because it wasn't great. Although I think it wound up being okay in the end, but weather did play a factor, and like even just coming down here, shingle, like trees, there's like
trees falling, trees fell down
right outside of
all
the stadium.
Outside the stadium.
Yeah, it was nuts. So I mean, it was gale force winds out there, and I started thinking, you know, both teams got to play in this weather, but only one team has played in all this crap weather, and that's our team. And there's a lot of reasons for why we have sort of a thin squad right now. It's not just the attendance. We also have a thin squad. But one of them might be because we've been playing in this sort of inclement weather. I don't know. I think that might be a factor that we're not considering. So even though both teams got to play in the weather, we've been playing in every little bit of crap weather. And I feel like every time
since February.
Every time we come down to the stadium, it's like you have to deal with the elements. Like it's not like and it's not nice. Like it's brutal. Yeah. So I'm already done with this season. I don't want to go to another game, and it's just starting.
I'm trying to harken back on what year I mean, do I say like, oh, it's 2009, 2000?
I can't even feel parts of my body.
2000,
right now.
Yeah. I'm thinking like the start of 2009 was, it had some brutal games. And I think 2010 had some brutal games to start the year off, where we were just dying in that stadium and exposed and freezing our asses off.
But not for prolonged periods like this. Like, this has been, I mean, mostly.
Oh, this, not this many games. No, you're right.
Because we've been like, and we've been playing a cup and a league, right? So, yeah, it's been, and that hasn't been the case. I think we've seen 8 or 9 games already, right? So
yeah, it's getting up there.
It's quite a few. I think that's some of the pregame conditions. I think that's something that needs to be considered going into this. And then, I don't know, I think maybe we should talk about the lineup, because I think the lineup is the next thing that sort of comes out of this. Go ahead.
Well, maybe just before the lineup, though, I would say, you know, obviously we haven't done a podcast since the home leg of the Champions League. So we missed the away leg and we missed the Chicago game. So the Chicago game is worth mentioning, because that's context to this game, because we're coming off a disappointing draw against a poor team in Chicago who hasn't played as well as they did last season, where they caught on fire and were looking really good. We played them early in the season. We played them in the middle of the season in Chicago and looked really great in that game.
Today's game should have been against Chicago, because we became the Windy City.
There you go.
Oh!
There you go. Steve was holding on to that one before the podcast even started. He said at the start of the night. But I was going to say, I mean, that is, you know, that is, I think that is important context, that that game looked like the game, all right, we lost that Champions League, but we're just going to pick up in this season, okay, and start off great, and we drop points. So I mean, this game had an element of another team that, in any other circumstance, we should be able to beat no problem, but we couldn't do it last week. What are we going to do this week?
So I felt like there was anxiety going into this game because of that pretext, and I also think that there was some relief going into this game, or at least outside on the outset of this game, because last game we saw the use and maybe abuse of the instant replay or the play review, right? Which came back to bite us a few times, and so it was pulled out 3 times by the ref. And at some point, people were just getting sick of it, right? They were just like, "Whoa, what have we gotten ourselves into?" Right? And in some cases, I feel like people left that stadium feeling like the play review was used against this team to bring us down. And it wasn't really a sort of a second sober look at like plays that were effective and could affect the outcome of the game. I think that the relief was that we didn't see any of that today. There was no play review. And to a lot of people who have been to both games, I think, oh, we finally got to watch football just play free-flowing and the game got played out, right? So, and I still feel like refereeing is always an issue. And it was tonight, too. But we'll get into that, I think, throughout the play, if we talk about highlights, right?
Yeah, sure. So how about this roster, then? It couldn't have been that much different than last week.
No, this is the same. This was pretty much the same lineup as last week.
Key players missing.
Yeah, but we started basically the same way. And Bono took a head injury at the end of the last game, so I was surprised to see him in the lineup tonight, because the second goal that Chicago scored was because he was out of it. Like, he was in a daze. He didn't have his wits about him, and Gordon got the best of him on that, like, you know, in that kind of a daze. So I was surprised to see him still in the lineup, but I guess, you know, well, we do have someone to go with, right? Clint Irwin's pretty decent for a backup keeper. So, but with other players, like, I'm feeling like the back line. So if we could talk about the back line for a minute. Sure. I feel like, you know, when Oro Jr. got injured near the end of the game today, we were like, oh shit, who can they bring in? I mean, there was Hernandez came in, but that was probably the only player that they could bring in.
Yeah,
because I think everybody else is injured. So we start off with Bradley playing the stopper in the back instead of, you know, a midfielder holding midfielder, which forms that sort of back end diamond that we sort of talk about or not talk about. And
Vanderbilt.
Vasquez playing up forward, where Altidore plays. So I feel like that's sort of like two of the major adjustments, because Vasquez usually plays the front of the diamond, which is the completion of the spine between Bradley and Vasquez. And so we're missing our spine. Like, the two key components to our spine are gone. And I don't know what you thought of this, but I feel like initially, so when we played Chicago, when I first saw the formation, I thought, oh, that's natural for Bradley, right? yeah, he's finally going to get to play the position that he sort of kind of plays. But it's not the case, right? Because there's nobody playing in front of him. He's not a stopper. So what I've noticed tonight was that he's definitely not a stopper. And he kind of takes some risky chances for the guy who's the last man, who's supposed to be the last man back. So he's not playing that position because he's usually got backup in the form of Drew Moore. And it could have cost us. We got lucky that it didn't. And I think Vanderbilt stepped in some ways, in some cases. It looked like a little bit more free-flowing on the back. It doesn't look so locked down. I really feel like there's some vacancies through the middle. I just feel like we played a weak team, and so nobody exposed it badly. But that's, we're only going to get away with that for so long, right? We're not going to get away with that for long. And Vasquez, I feel like playing up front, he doesn't know that position very well. Like, he's used to being in the center and to being able to distribute. And when he's trying to play wing, like on one of the other sides opposite of Giovinco, he's often too far out. And I noticed that Giovinco was slotting a bunch of balls through at the beginning, and there's no Josie there to finish, right? So it's not like, not only do we not have a finisher, but like Vasquez doesn't know where to be, right? So I feel like our formation is all out of whack right now. There's players who don't know where they're supposed to be playing, and they're just trying to fill gaps. And why is this? Because we're injured. We're injured because we've been playing so much. It's not just the bad weather, but we've been playing a lot. And these guys at the beginning of the season, like, we're already down to our bench, right? We're pulling in all these guys from the bench. It's awesome to see them play, and some of them are stepping in and doing well. But I also feel like, fuck, if we were playing a decent team, which we will be on Wednesday, there's going to be trouble. And we saw that even with Chicago. Fuck, man. Anyway, I just wanted to look at the formation because I feel like the risk of being in these cups is what we're seeing now, is that you just dwindled your team down to basically a bare skeletons of what you've got, and we're seeing the result of that. Anyway, that's all I had to say about that. I don't know if you have anything to add.
You covered a lot of ground there.
It was lineup and formation. I feel like I was talking about lineup and formation. I feel like the two are kind of related. Maybe we could get into game highlights.
Well, yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay.
I mean, so maybe I mean, if I just take, give me a second to look at this, because I don't know if there's anything I can pull out of that formation or that starting lineup. I think the only thing I think I would add, because I wasn't at the Chicago game, was for me, this was one of the, I think if I'm not mistaken, this was like one of the first like really good looks at Akeche not coming in as a sub and getting like a good long stretch on the pitch.
So I had a thought about this. I was thinking that, like, you know, the person who would fill for the Bradley top diamond should have been either Delgado, Osorio, or Akeche, and none of them did. Like, they just so there's too many midfielders who play the same position who are not realizing that they need to switch. They need to do something for the formation. They're not playing the formation. They're playing their position. They're playing a position that they used to play, and they sort of roam back and forth. So nobody plays that center stopper like in front of the back line. And as a result, we kind of got like this a chaotic situation. Somebody needs to get designated as that spot up front, in front, like the Bradley spot.
Yeah.
In Bradley's absence, right? I don't know who it could be. I don't think Delgado's very good. I think it would either be, sorry, not Delgado. I don't think it would be Osorio because he likes to move up. I think it would be Delgado or Akeche, but they haven't figured out who it's going to be. And as a result, you're sort of seeing them on the sides, but not in the middle. So you're not getting the stopper in the middle. You're getting these guys on the side that aren't very effective. So I don't know. It's a hole. I'm just saying, we got to see Akeche, but we maybe needed him in a different position. Somebody needed to say, you play like Bradley.
Yeah. I mean, he's wearing number 8. He doesn't play Bradley. He plays like Cheru. I mean, he's wearing the same jersey number.
Yeah, but he doesn't play like him. And the thing is, and I don't know. I just feel like I think Vanny needs to step in here and try kind of create some strategy with these guys. They need to give him some defined roles. I think like they need to their roles have to change a little bit based on who's in the lineup, right? And that hasn't, we're not seeing that happen.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
We're not being flexible. I think you have to have some flexibility in this team, and they're not. That was an observation for me tonight. Like noticing that, I was just like, man, we are exposed down the center. We're exposed.
Okay. Well, let's talk about it then. Let's go through it.
All great chess games are won through the center, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, soccer is just a chess game to me, and I just feel like we got lucky.
Okay. So let's go through this then. Let's go see let's see how we got lucky on this game. And I think, I mean, off the top, I mean, I think if I play devil's advocate on this, Steve, though, as we go before we go into like the play-by-play, you know, we are playing against Philadelphia, and if it's an opponent that we're going to have that kind of game and this kind of setup, I mean, I don't know what else Vandy would have done, but maybe that's part of like the overarching statement on this game. It's like, it's lucky we're playing Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And against a weaker team, we're getting, you know what I mean? We're getting an opportunity to work this out. Like, but what better game to realize this in a 3-0 win than getting up against, you know, one of the top half teams in the league where, you know, that could have resulted in a draw or a loss. So, but if we start this game off and maybe go through some of these points.
In that way, in a comparative analysis, like Chicago sort of, a lower to middle team, right? And we tied them.
Yeah.
And then we...
Well, the one thing I would say, though, is that Philadelphia don't have a Schweinsteiger and they don't have a Nikolic, who's a potent goal scorer and, you know, a great European... And Gordon, a longtime MLS veteran. So there was a couple players on Chicago that I think... There were bigger difference makers on Chicago than there are on Philadelphia, is what I would say, for sure. So... But if we go through this game, obviously, I think if we, you know, off the opening whistle, the biggest thing, and we already said it, I mean, you saw this from in the first 20 to 30 minutes, was like, how this game is not going to get open because the wind and the elements were just out of control. When we saw...
But I would say that we had four good chances within the first 8 minutes.
We did. Now, I don't want to say...
That's not unlike what happened in Chicago, against Chicago. So Chicago, we kind of owned the game for the first 20 minutes. In fact, I felt like Chicago was never going to get in the game. I just thought, I couldn't believe how much we were dominating that team, especially without Josie. I thought, man, we are just... is there going to be no end to the scoring that we're going to get? But for us, I mean, we couldn't get the finish. I mean, even for the first minute and a half, we got across to Vasquez, who wasn't there. Like, Vasquez was just out of position. And that's when I started noticing, oh, people aren't in position because they don't know where they're supposed to be. Javinko was all over the play sheet in that. But then at the 10th minute, Philadelphia hits the crossbar. That's the closest that, and that should have gone in. Like, in the replay that we were looking
beautiful.
At, that was pretty much the best play of the first half, minus the goal that Vasquez scores, right? So I feel like up until that point, Philadelphia had the best chance because Bono was lucky. I don't even know if he touched it.
I think he just got it.
We were speculating that he did, but if he did, then it was like probably that was the difference, right?
Yeah. That ball was going in. And it looked like the touch that he got on it just directed it to hit the underside of the crossbar, which is like, oof. And the interesting thing on that, actually, you know, not to contradict myself, but the elements did play a factor because on that side of the stadium, it was hard to gauge across because it was getting hung up in the wind. The wind was blowing south. We were at the north end. So across that normally would fall at a certain area was getting pulled a bit deeper. So it's a really tricky spot for Bono to come out and try to get at that because the ball was like, it just wasn't carrying the way it normally would.
Would you say that this was the windiest game, or do you think that Chicago Fire game that we keep talking about, the LaBrocca goal, was the windiest game? Because I feel like this might have been up there.
Yeah, I think it was up there. I mean, one of the reasons why the Chicago one stands out so much because it was a torrential downpour at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just a howling, it was like a hurricane. But this, in terms of just wind, this probably was up there for one of the windier games, for sure. I mean, we saw Blake having his first two or three goal kicks. It took him two or three to finally realize, okay, I need to direct this very severely to the left because it's getting hung up and carried to the right.
And you also saw us playing with the ball down to the ground, at least in that first like 20 minutes, right? We were cognizant of the fact that the wind was a factor, and you saw lots of just on the pitch until they started noticing that the pitch was terrible and taking these odd bounces, because then we started seeing balls going like erratically, like not exactly going like the carpet pitch that you expect from a good club team, right? And they were taking these odd bounces, and I think that's when we stopped going so much to the ground. We still did, but it's a different effect sometimes.
Yeah.
Unsuspecting effects.
Yeah. I mean, I noticed that it looked like, I mean, Akeche is an example of where it looked like he seemed to have a sense that he couldn't cross the ball high. Like he was being measured in how he was striking the ball, even in shots. You know, he was doing a better job of keeping it low. And some of the crosses, if they wanted to get a ball in the middle of the 18, they weren't arcing it up. They would have kept it low to the ground. Whereas unless there was a guy that was open at the far end of the box and they were trying to cross it to him, that's the only time they'd sort of do a more arcing, looping cross. So I think we had a sense of what we were up against, especially with the wind at our back.
And at the 28th minute, we strike back. So that's when the ball comes to Gio. Gio does this beautiful diagonal pass to Hassler.
Just out, like literally.
It was like a Cheyrouz pass. Like it was just like one of those threading the needle kind of passes. Gets through to Hassler. Hassler gets it over to Vasquez, and Vasquez puts it on. So it was a beautiful goal. And all of a sudden, we're in this game. We don't feel so nervous anymore, although we're not even sure if we can score again. And just prior to that play, Giovinco got fouled. And there was a yellow issued. And then right after this play, Gio gets a yellow for running into a guy's like thing. And that's, people were like, he got a yellow? Like, that's when people started questioning the ref, right? So things were starting to go south for the ref at that point, because like they, you know, that was, the guy was twice his size. I mean, I don't know.
Literally. He looked literally twice his size. It was very odd because anyone that saw it said it just, they were just running together. So it wouldn't have been, I mean, it sounded like they just clattered into one another, and the guy who was twice his size was on the ground.
I don't even think he touched him.
No,
to be honest, because they didn't. When he went down in the 18, in his own 18, so not our 18, right? So it wouldn't have been a penalty kick. But there was a play being built, right? And anyway, let me just say that it was baffling.
That there is some foreshadowing, because that battle between Giovinco and that center back went the whole game, and had, you know, there was like, there was the moment.
There was a vindication.
There was a moment, but we will get to that.
I want to say the only other play, there was a play like in the last couple of minutes of the first half. So Morgan beats three players and then gets a crossover. And one of the things I was noticing is that, like, I feel like they're not taking Morgan seriously because they sort of stopped running when he went down the play, and they just kind of gave up. And meanwhile, he beats three players. He's inside the 18, and there's no one to pass to. And he has to pass over top of everybody to try and get the ball back in. And it was just like, you hung this guy out to dry, man. You didn't think he could do it. And he did a great play, and there's nobody there, no support. I just felt like, man, that was shitty. And then 2 minutes later, Delgado gives this fucking shitty giveaway pass to Philadelphia. He just gives them the ball, and Morgan, who's like been up pressing as like a wing back, has to run back and foul the guy and gets a yellow for it.
Yeah.
And I just thought, what the fuck, man? Like,
if you noticed after that, Delgado went over to him and like gave him five.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Because he saved his ass, and he fucking deserved. Yeah.
He took that card to end the play, and because Delgado turned it over, and Delgado gave him recognition for that after that.
He better. Because, you know, he saved his ass. Anyway.
Yeah.
So going into the first half.
Yeah. Right? So, and I would say, I mean, you've touched on this, but going into the second half, I think we all were thinking 1-0. If Philadelphia scores a goal,
Are we going to hold on to this game? Like, I was thinking, is this how we're going to play? Because I was like, I'm not so excited about this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was kind of nerve-wracked going into that. Like, and it didn't look like we were trying to do anything exciting. And I didn't see anything breaking. I just felt like it was just going to stay steady, right? Is that, that's what you're kind of saying, right?
Well, and that's the difference between the first half and the second half that we noticed. And maybe why things weren't quite that way is that, you know, obviously the elements in the first half and the second half changed.
Partially, but we were running into the wind, so we didn't have the elements in our favor. However, they did die down, so the flagpoles weren't going crazy.
No, you could, Bono didn't have long balls hung up, so he had his option of what he wanted to do, and we were able to put the ball down the field any way we wanted. So I think that changed our strategy going towards the north, to be honest. And I think that's why the second half might have opened up the way that it did for us.
But I feel like we saw lots of good stuff from Hassler. Hassler was making lots of plays, but I think at the 65th minute is when we saw things open up, and that's through great second effort by Jonathan Osorio. So Osorio is going the opposite way. He comes back, he intercepts the pass in our end, close to the 18, runs the ball at least more than half the pitch, and then slots the ball over to Giovinco, who beats this number three player that we're talking about. I don't know his name.
I don't know either.
And
that's very forgettable.
But that was the 1v1 that was going on all game, right? And he sort of almost falls down, gets him back up on his feet. He's passed him and then slots it in the far post. And I was just like, it was like, what the fuck? It was such a beautiful goal.
Vintage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But also a goal that we've been waiting for him to score.
Yes.
Because he hasn't scored. He hasn't really, he's just been setting.
I think this is his first league goal.
I'm pretty sure it is because he's just been really setting people up mostly. Yeah. And that's kind of what we're seeing. We're seeing Giovinco doing all these passes, but there's no Josie to finish, right?
Yeah.
that's the frustration that all of us are feeling. We're definitely missing that Altidore touch, right?
Yeah. And I would say, as a fan of Giovinco, I mean, those first 2 years were just magical in what he could do 1v1. And it's not as common to see that as we saw.
We saw some tonight, though.
Yes, but I mean, with a finished goal from him. I mean, that's the Giovinco we all fell in love with, when he gets 1v1 with a guy, it's game over. Knees are broken, and he's putting that ball wherever he wants to. And that was just yes, very happy for him.
Yeah, but a lot is owed to Jonathan Osorio.
Yeah.
Because he basically set that whole thing up.
You know what I think this game, though, is? For a lot of these guys, I kind of there's points where I was like, Akeche, I was pulling my hair out. But then he was making, he was tracking back. He was making he's getting stuck in some good dispossessions. Vanderbilt as well was doing some.
He was doing both ends. He was playing, he was making the rushes.
Taking opportunities.
Yeah, but then also, I think he was the most solid on the back line. I feel like he could be the stopper and maybe Bradley should switch with him. I kind of felt like he was strong enough to do that. And I felt like Bradley was holding back because he felt like he had to be the stopper. So in some ways, it kind of restricts. It puts Bradley on a chain, and that position isn't really well suited for him.
Yeah, and I would even say Osorio, although he had some great moments in possession, did have that little bit of throwback to last year and the year before with the frustration when in possession, and especially in goal scoring positions.
Not pulling the trigger.
Yeah, where he had at least two or three.
Yeah.
He had one glorious one off on the left side. Where you just strike it. Just give it, just test the keeper. You're in a perfect position and he pulled it back.
That was the 87th minute where he had, he was in a perfect position and then tried to opt to push a pass further up, right? When he should have taken the shot. He had a better chance at it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So there was at least two then. At least two really good chances where you would have hoped he would have struck it.
Yeah.
However,
it happened more than once.
And I think the statement around that midfield is that Jay Chapman comes in as a sub. I hope I'm not getting too far ahead of your list.
I want to talk about the 73rd minute before we get into the Jay Chapman.
Yeah, because I think that's a good talking point too.
But I want to talk about the 73rd minute because this is a defensive play. So this is Bradley heading the ball off the line. It was a very quick play and people don't recognize it. Bono wasn't behind him and the shot came from Philadelphia and he heads it off the line. And a lot of people miss that play. But it was keeping us in the game. That was the play that kept us in the game. So in terms of it, because we mostly talk about offensive stuff, but I think a highlight from the defense, and as much as I give him Bradley stick tonight, he comes up with one of these game-saving defensive plays, which was one of them. So I just wanted to bring that to people's attention.
Sure.
Because that was something that was good. And then so Hassler comes out because he's run 76 minutes of the game. Chapman comes in. Vasquez comes out, Hamilton comes in. Both players are important for this last goal. That's why I'm mentioning both of them, because and I think there's a Canadian connection, isn't there?
There is. They're both Canadian.
Yeah.
Local boys.
So at the 89th minute, Hamilton slots a ball through to Chapman for a fucking great goal.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, yeah, just feels like we can finally breathe easily.
Yeah.
I mean, I was nervous until that 89th minute, and then I was just like, okay, we've done it.
Yeah. And for like
now we can talk about pizza.
Well, yeah, we can talk about pizza. And the other thing I was like, what I really saw that was like,
I want to say that it was preceded by Oro Jr. going down, right?
Sure.
So he got injured, and we were playing shorthanded, and we were like, this is at the end of the game. We're like, this isn't good, and we don't know who's coming in, and like all this stuff. And this is so late in the game, like, but I feel like it could be something. I mean, like, can we really play shorthanded for the last couple of minutes? Because like that's when we're most exhausted. Maybe this isn't so great. And then all of a sudden, Chapman just unloads, and we're like, fuck yeah.
Well, yeah.
We can relax, right?
Well, and it's like, I think for me, like I was saying that, like, I really think that was a statement play from Chapman. Like, this could be, who knows, like the start of, you know, planting that seed to Vanny being like, you know, I got Delgado, I got Akeche, you know, who am I going to get in there? And it's like, well, Chapman goes in there and scores this great goal, a great finish. You know what I mean? Like, he took his chance from distance and struck at far post, which Osorio couldn't do that tonight.
And it was
Delgado's missed two sitters in the in the Champions League that would have won us the cup.
Yeah.
And Akeche can't seem to finish his chances from anywhere he's shooting.
Yeah.
And Chapman gets it there and does it. So I'm like, hey, man, like, you might have just flipped the whole script on this season and found yourself getting some more playing time based on that, which is like, hey, as a Canadian, I mean, I like Delgado because he's young and you want to see young guys get minutes and develop into something good. But I'm like, fuck, man, Chapman has got the pedigree backing himself up. No, he wasn't a draft. He would have been a high draft pick. We took him as a homegrown. He's kind of been languishing for the last 2 years. And now he's out there and you're like, yeah, man, you get him a ball in a good position, he'll strike that far post.
Hey, the exclamation point to that was a celebration where he came into our corner, folded his arms, and then put out his hand to his ear, waiting for the cheers. I mean, he just, you know, drew attention to this great goal, which was, you know, well-deserved.
Yeah, it was great. It's how you do it. It's how you do it. You know what I mean? Like, hats off. Like, I was like, that's the guy, and that's the goal that I really think. That's why, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I left the game being like, yeah, like, there's some good stuff to talk about in this result. And I would say, like, that's, of all the things that we, you know, the critiques or the concerns of this game, I would say the goals that were created had a lot of positives. Like, every goal came from open play. Every goal, different people got touches and from different spots of the field and people that you want to score. You know, I mean, and Hamilton connects with Chapman and Jovinko to Hasler to Vasquez and then Osorio to Jovinko. I mean, it's just
it's
like
coming
yeah.
from everywhere.
Yeah, there was it kind of was spread around.
In some ways, you can't isolate any one player because plays coming from everywhere.
Yeah,
it's a good way to play, and I think it's a good summation.
Yeah,
I don't know where you want to go. I didn't have any sights and sounds. The only thing I'm thinking about is the next up, because we're playing Wednesday, which is only in 4 days.
Yeah. Well, so here's the only thing
I'm playing against Seattle. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, so okay, that's maybe I can tie this into the Seattle, because the only thing I was going to say is obviously we didn't do any podcast post Champions League loss, and tonight Alex was going to be at the game.
Oh.
And he got sick, and he was in Guadalajara to see the game, so he had all his insights that he was going to share, saying being at this game, what it was like in the final. And I, you know, I don't want to hash too much into that final, because it's, you know, it was a week and a half ago, and a few other podcasts I know, Vocal Minority did a summary of it. But I just think from our perspective, you know, the one thing I kind of left with that was like, and I know I've seen this comparison, it really did feel like that first MLS Cup loss, where the better team didn't win, we got lost on penalties, and I know that this season, you know, this is kind of speaking to everyone out there, hasn't started great in the league, but I don't know. I still feel really confident
Can
that this is a top team in
Can
MLS.
I ask you a question about the penalty kicks? Because I feel like we should be getting better at these. But I feel like we made the same mistake by putting our captain, who's basically, you know, a midfield fullback.
In the most critical.
Did he kick in the top five?
He was the fifth.
Yeah. So do we not realize that he's going to kick the ball over? Like, it's the same reason why it's the same reason why you don't put Beckham in that, because Beckham always does that too. Yeah. These guys are long ball kickers, right? They're going to get underneath it, and it's always going to go over. And it did, didn't it?
Yeah.
From what I can tell, it went over. So
it was kind of like that kick he had in this game that went 40 feet over net.
Never in the top five. I just want to say that because I just feel like you should get all your strikers in the top five. Make sure that everybody, like, in the front half of that pitch is in the top five, because they all shoot low. They know how to kick it down. Anyway. I know that he's got nerves of steel, and that's probably why he was there, but I feel like it was a mistake to put him in the top five. And we should be getting better because we keep having these decisions being made settled on penalty kicks. I'm not trying to blame Bradley. I just feel like there's other kickers that should be in that. And I don't think that's the difference of the game.
It's definitely not. It's definitely not. I don't want to get into that. I did have opinions on that, but if anyone wants to hear my opinion on it, you can email me.
It's the one thing I've been thinking about steadily. I just feel like maybe they need to work on that.
Yeah, well, clearly we've lost two finals on penalties.
It's come back to bite us. Like, you know, it's haunted. It's haunting us, right? Yeah. I think it's something we should work on. Yeah. Penalty kicks is something we should.
So that in mind, yes, that too. But I think I would say, you know, the quick summary of the tournament was, truthfully, we beat the two best teams, more or less, in Mexico, in terms of Monterrey and Club America. We beat Guadalajara at home. You know, that was another something to take from that. And also on the flip side, Guadalajara, holy shit, they beat the three MLS teams, like pretty much the three best MLS teams. So you have to give them a little bit of credit. And,
but that's expected, isn't it? It's expected that Mexico will beat MLS.
Yeah, that is expected. But I mean, MLS is getting better, it's Seattle, New York, and Toronto.
Toronto was the hope that it would change, right?
Yeah.
It didn't.
No, it didn't. But hey, who knows? Maybe this will be like the MLS Cup, where
that's the story that I've heard from everybody. Yes. Actually. So yeah,
we'll see. Nothing new.
We'll see.
Yeah,
if we can keep this team together, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, there's a sight and sound, Steve, or what do we call it? Smoke and mirrors, Jovinko contract.
Right.
Has
that actually been in? I mean, I've been talking about it with people, but I don't know. Has that been sort of a storyline out there?
It's getting out there. I'll plug a site, because there is a website. I'm sure you guys who listen to us have heard of the TFC report. I think it's Oliver Platt who does it. And he's really grinding out there, like, tons of content. So you should check that out. And he wrote one this week that was about the possibility of, you know, Jovinko wants to stay for another, you know, significant contract. And I think they got to kind of crunch the numbers and say, is it worthwhile for us to have, like, this expensive DP slot being taken up by a guy who, technically, if you look at an 8-year career, is on the bottom half of that 8-year career. Is this what we want to do? And then, of course, you know, there's sentiment about it. You know, this, how much he's brought to the club, is, you know, should that weigh into him staying here? And, you know, he's not cranking it out like he did his first two seasons, but I mean, you watch a game like today and two of those goals were because of him.
I would say, can you imagine us getting a result without him?
I still can't. Like,
so I understand what you're saying, but I feel like plays flow through him and plays come out of him that other players can't do.
Yeah.
And so I'm a skeptic.
Yeah. I think if we took him out of this team within five, maybe four games, we would be bemoaning and lamenting and, you know, crying for him to come back. Yeah. I think it would be that noticeable. I don't think he's replaceable.
I'm in agreement with you.
Like, I know people like Vasquez. I'm sorry. Like, he is great. His vision is, like, he brings something incredible to it. But I mean, Jovinko is a total package, really. So,
but I feel like we hurt when some of them are all missing. Like, I feel like right now we're feeling We're feeling the absence of Moore and Josie, right? And I feel like when we have them all, we fire like nobody else, right? So I do think it's a team sport, and soccer is like no other sport in that way. Like, you know, you basically are as strong as your weakest link. And sometimes we have some pretty strong players. Like we have a great lineup when we have them all fit.
Think of Steve.
The problem is that some of them are not going to be fit for a while.
Think of a back line of Moore, Mavinga, Vanderveel, Morrow, Oro.
Yeah, it's unstoppable.
We haven't quite seen that yet, and I'm like, even after last year, you're like, oh, our defense is actually quite good now. I hope we get to see that first for an extended period this year, because I think that could be something where you're like, this could be one of the best defensive back lines in the league history.
Yeah, if they're ever fit at the same time.
So we'll leave it at that. I'm sorry, Alex. I know you sent an email with a whole great story of being in Mexico, but we'll have you on the podcast.
Tell it live. It's better when you say it. We need you to do some storytelling.
Yeah. So maybe we'll find a way to weave that into one of the podcasts coming up, and we'll take it from there. So the next game is Seattle.
Wednesday. Yeah. The real challenge.
Yeah. That's going to be a big one. But Seattle's struggling. Seattle's struggling this season. So
we'll see, right?
Yeah, there's opportunity. Yeah. There's opportunity. I mean,
now there's a rivalry, right? Because it's always key games against Seattle. So
yeah.
It's not just that.
No, there's real history.
There's history now.
Yeah, from Seattle's first game here in 2009, a miserable night at BMO Field, a miserable afternoon at BMO Field with Seattle, and they spoiled the party for a season that we were supposed to be, that was supposed to be the big year. So I always will remember that. And of course,
they've played spoilers quite a few times against us. So
yeah, so there you go. So we'll leave it at Steve Perry, 89.5. Yeah, it is 5. Why do I think 89.1?
I don't know. I don't know what's there.
I don't know either. Equalizing Distort Sunday nights, and Equalizing X Distort at Blocks. Is that Blogspot still running?
Blogspot.
Okay, yeah. Check that out, guys. And you know, I'm at Clark RNO info, or have your say at RedNationOnline.ca. Love the comments. Love the DMs. All that kind of stuff. So reach out. Let us know what you think. And if we're not back midweek, then it'll be the next home game. There's another one coming up. I don't have a schedule here, but...
Yes.
So then maybe I'll catch you then.
Okay.
Well, I'll leave it hanging like that. Keep the suspense until the next podcast comes out. So thanks a lot for listening, guys. We'll catch you next time. We want you to get involved. Reach out to us on Twitter at Red Nation Online, or by email at info, or have your say at rednationonline.ca. Get in touch with us. Let us know how you thought the team did. Agree, disagree, it doesn't matter. Also, check out our other podcasts on Red Nation Online, From the Black Hole, Ours is the Fury, and our interview series. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you guys next time.